Remember your school days when you would stand in line in the school cafeteria to get your lunch or breakfast, sit at a table maybe with your lunchbox, and do some trading and swapping with your friends? Sadly, there are hundreds of thousands of children in New Jersey who, because of family financial difficulties, can't even afford a lunch or breakfast at school. And what adds to this dilemma is that even with the hundreds of millions of federal dollars that are available to schools all through the state for these programs, some schools, believe it or not, hesitate and just even flat out refuse to reach out for them. And that's why the report my next guest is here to discuss is so very important. It reveals which schools are best serving the nutrition needs of their students and the successful ways that they are accomplishing all of this. The report is Healthy Food, Strong Kids, Building a Community, Response to Childhood Hunger. She's Executive Director of Advocates for Children of New Jersey, Cecilia Zalkin. Thanks for being here today, Cecilia.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And the website for Advocates for Children of New Jersey is acnj.org. Additional information about the school breakfast program in the state is njschoolbreakfast.org. And you can become better informed and better empowered as a parent of a student or students in schools, not just public schools, charter schools too, which we'll get to in the report because there were some surprising results. But in the overall idea of the report of Healthy Food, Strong Kids, Building a Community Response to Childhood Hunger, it looks at a variety of points, not just in the school breakfast program, but what is the main purpose of this report?
Well, we started our school breakfast, actually Breakfast After the Bell campaign in 2011, to try and address why so many children who were eligible for breakfast were not getting it. I think at that point, the state was serving about 26% of eligible children. Over the last 5 years, we and our broad coalition of partners have made a lot of progress in making sure that kids get breakfast. But as we've done that, we've also realized there are other federal food programs that can serve hungry kids, bring money into the state that are not being utilized. So we've also looked at summer meals and have started to look at after-school meals.
And when you say hungry children in New Jersey, it's in the hundreds of thousands, over 300,000 by the best estimates.
Yes, a recent study says that there are about 340,000 New Jersey children who face hunger every year. And we've also seen that the number of eligible families who by income are eligible for food stamps and school meals has also gone up every year as well.
Now, I know you listen whenever we say a report of New Jersey on and then fill the blank. It's like you brace yourself thinking, okay, how bad is it this time? But surprisingly, when it comes to school meals and the programs, the trends are positive overall. We'll get into some specifics where there are still some problem issues. But overall, believe it or not, the state is greatly in the right direction.
Yes, I think that's the exciting thing to note, that for the last 5 years, we've seen a steady increase in the number of children who access breakfast in school. So this year, we saw a smaller increase over last year, but it's been since 2011, a 75% increase in children getting breakfast, 105,000 children, more children now getting breakfast every day in school. That's a significant increase. And even, you know, I'm not going to say better, because I think serving kids is the best goal, but we've also done it without costing the state a dime. It's brought in about $50 million more in federal money every year to serve breakfast to these children.
Yeah, the federal dollars have basically doubled from $48 million in fiscal year 2011 to $98 million in fiscal year 2017. Like I said in the intro, Cecilia, this is money that, you know, much like when you walk into a wedding, for example, or a business expo and the name tags are sitting on the table, it's there waiting for you. Just grab the tag, go inside, get your free drink, and you're off and running in the party. Same thing with the financial structure of all these programs. The state's money is tagged. Here it is. Come and get it.
That's exactly right. How often are we involved in an issue that will help families and children that doesn't have a price tag? And this is waiting money. This is money that went back to the federal government every year unclaimed. And basically, the success in school breakfast has not involved a lot of effort. It's really been having districts look at where and when they serve breakfast. That's been the key, changing the way they do business. So schools that serve breakfast to children after the bell in the classroom are much more effective at reaching children than those that continue to serve children in a central location before school starts. That's been the key, breakfast after the bell.
Talking with Cecilia Zalkin, Executive Director of Advocates for Children of New Jersey, about the recent report, Healthy Food, Strong Kids, Building a Community Response to Childhood Hunger. You can download it at acnj.org. Learn more about the school breakfast programs in New Jersey at njschoolbreakfast.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Just for you listening to, for your information, the benchmark, at least the goal set by national standards, the recommendation is 70% of low-income kids who receive free or reduced-price lunch also should be receiving breakfast. 40% should receive summer meals, 10% after-school meals. So overall, if you look at the grand numbers, New Jersey's around the 59 percentile mark, which, again, a trend in the right direction, more work to be done to be sure. But as far as one or two of the schools who are really getting it done, who are some of the standouts?
Well, our report also looks at schools in every county of the state. So the top five counties this year were Passaic, Cumberland, Hudson, Essex, and Cape May. I think in each of these counties, there were districts that made extraordinary efforts to address this issue. Again, first it's the mindset of serving breakfast after the bell, and then I think things fall into place. The biggest increase is in Passaic County, which has a couple of big school districts, Passaic City, Patterson, that have a high number of eligible children, and they have really gone the extra mile to reach kids. Patterson especially is now serving breakfast at the high schools, looking at summer meals. Once they embrace this idea, they move forward dramatically. Passaic itself has a 57% participation rate.
That seems to be one of the hang-up points, too. The high school level school administrators seem to be reluctant to do the breakfast after the bell program, and the same things as far as logistics. It cuts study time down, but it's a matter of priorities, isn't it? Because we also know, too, that medically speaking, the better nutrition a child gets, the greater, more focused, more sharper the learning abilities become.
Yes, and there's so much research that documents that, but what's been interesting to me is to hear every year from a district that's implemented breakfast, because the research there, but they see it firsthand, and we always hear from a principal, a teacher, a superintendent saying, I saw the difference in my students immediately. And I think, you know, there's this idea that we're focused on elementary schools, but the high school kids need breakfast in the morning, too. And we've found a number of high schools across the state that are looking at breakfast after the bell and creative ways to do this. Perhaps rather than bringing the food to the classroom, having a kiosk at the door where a student can pick up breakfast and take it to his or her classroom. Lots of different ways to do this, and I think districts are discovering that this can be done at the high school, too.
You know, thinking of a teacher, what would you rather have them do? And we know this, we know that kids are staring at their smartphones when you're trying to teach them, so isn't it better to maybe have them stare at a breakfast burrito and maybe be eating while you're teaching?
Well, and you know, it's not disruptive. I know that was the issue that was raised in 2011 when we kicked off our campaign, and then Education Commissioner Cerf and Agriculture Secretary Fisher did a joint memo to school districts saying you can serve breakfast after the bell. It will not count against instructional time. And what we've heard from teachers, this is a really good time to start the day. Kids work in small groups. We were in a couple of classrooms where kids wrote in their journals. They went through what they were going to do that day. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes. We were in other classrooms, so the teacher just taught through breakfast being eaten. Those are barriers that can be addressed.
And speaking on a personal note, if I know there's going to be food, I'm showing up, so it could be an impact on attendance, too, to the positive side.
Absolutely. And, you know, this year we've done some work on absenteeism from school, and there is this connection. So, yes, having breakfast in school increases attendance. In a couple of high schools that we visited here in Newark, they're finding that that's been an important factor in improving attendance.
We're having our time with Cecilia Zalkin from Advocates for Children of New Jersey. We're discussing their report on Healthy Food, Strong Kids, Building a Community Response to Childhood Hunger, which you can download at acnj.org and learn more as well at njschoolbreakfast.org. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Some of the standout schools in the report, to probably no surprise, most of them charter schools, Hope Academy in Monmouth County, Greater Brunswick and Middlesex, Atlantic Community Charter School in Atlantic, also public schools as well, Cape May, Egg Harbor City, Montague, Atlantic City, School Union City in Hudson County, over almost 12,000 students participating there, and they were all above that 70% benchmark that the federal government sets. And yeah, on the flip side, there were some that really, really missed the mark. Trenton, it was surprising on this list too, the underachievers, Cecilia. The number of charter schools, that's just failed miserably in this program.
Yes, that was a surprise to us as well. You know, the charter schools, data from the charter schools identify the charters as their own districts. That's why they're reported separately in the report. And it was a surprise to see that many of the charters did not embrace school breakfast. Some have stepped up, but that is an area I think that needs further work. And there are communities that continue to struggle. You mentioned Trenton. We have worked in Trenton, and that's been a district that's been difficult to get breakfast off and running. Bergen County has a number of larger districts like Garfield, Lodi, that are not serving breakfast. So there's still work to be done. We're not done yet. Essex has Belleville as well, with a large number of kids who are eligible. And again, not only are kids not getting food in the morning, but this is money that's being left on the table.
And it's really simple access, breakfast after the bell, nutrition coalitions. There's strength in numbers. That's more than just a saying. The summer meal locations to get that in, out more in advance as opposed to the week of. And advocate at all levels, in the school, outside the school, community organizations, individuals. Every voice is empowerment for the betterment of a child's life and their nutrition. You can find out more about these ideas and the information about the school district where you are all throughout the state in the report Healthy Food, Strong Kids, Building a Community Response to Childhood Hunger. You can download it at acnj.org. That's the website for Advocate for Children of New Jersey. And while you're surfing around, pay a visit to njschoolbreakfast.org as well. We've been joined today by the Executive Director of Advocate for Children of New Jersey, Cecilia Zalkin. Cecilia, thank you as well, always, for providing us the insight that we need to make a better state and a better condition for our kids. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much.